everybody. Welcome to the OATA Movie Club podcast. My name is Jeff Moreva. I direct the show, and I'm here with our host, Mr. Robert Birch.
Hey, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. We've got another great movie to talk about this week. This is the OATA Movie Club. We air on Oklahoma's only PBS statewide station, OATA, every Saturday night at 9, and we repeat the following Fridays at 11. So Saturday nights at 9, Fridays at 11. Please tune in, check out these movies this week, On the Town.
On the Town.
On the Town.
Frank Sinatra, Jules Munchen, right? The famous Jules Munchen, and
of course,
Gene Kelly.
Great Gene Kelly.
And Ann Miller.
Ann Miller.
The dancer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is a great. So this is a musical kind of slash musical comedy, and I mean it's just it's a great movie,
right?
And so
based on a Broadway play,
right?
Or a Broadway musical,
right?
But they didn't keep all the songs,
right? Yeah, it was based on a stage ballet actually entitled "Fancy Free," which opened at the Ballet Theater in New York in 1944, and so, yeah, Fancy Free.
Leonard Bernstein,
yeah,
right, wrote most of the songs of the stage play,
yeah,
but only a few of his songs made it into the film.
Yeah.
They wrote 6 original songs for the film.
For the film.
But, you know, I mean, New York, New York is Leonard Bernstein and Come Up to My House. You know, really the really good songs in this I mean, there's a lot of good songs in this, but, yeah, Leonard Bernstein.
And New York, New York became, after this movie, became Sinatra's sign-off song, basically.
Right,
it was his big ending number for his concerts after this.
Well, yeah, he's very, very connected, of course.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, from Hoboken and, yeah, New York, New York, his song, right?
Yeah.
And then this, you know, New York, New York, a heck of a wonderful town.
Wonderful town.
Yeah.
The first original lyrics were, it's a hell of a town.
Right.
But they had to scrap that and go
the
with,
Hayes
it's
Commission
a wonderful. The Hayes Commission,
would
exactly.
Would not allow it.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, they're sailors.
They're sailors.
Right. They're
you know, they're, yeah, you know what they're saying. you know that's the word hell is one of the better words coming out of
them. Right, right. There'd be some other words that were much worse,
but,
I'm sure.
But
right.
Yeah, by the standards of the day, the Hayes Act, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny because Gene Kelly tells a whole story about how popular Frank Sinatra in New York and how well known he is in New York. And apparently there was a total of 5 days spent filming in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And Gene Kelly explained it that there was 2 major problems faced by the crew. One, the weather.
Right, because it rained the whole time.
It rained the whole time they were there.
Those 5 days.
And then the second biggest problem was the popularity of Sinatra.
Because you couldn't go, he couldn't go anywhere.
Nowhere, yeah.
You know, he was like the Beatles, all in one man. And so if people on the street saw him, he would be mobbed.
He was mobbed. And,
anywhere he would go.
Yeah, and they said to avoid crowds, they put the cast in taxis instead of limousines.
Uh-huh.
They kept their profiles really low.
They would really just run and gun.
Yeah.
Gene Kelly said, I mean, they're shooting at Rockefeller Center.
Mm-hmm.
The taxi would pull up. They would run out. You know, somehow, I guess, a speaker would play the music that they're lip-syncing to.
Right.
And so they would do their bit that they had rehearsed.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, dancing or whatever. They would do their bit and then jump back in the taxi before some Bobby Sox or, you know, throws their arms around Sinatra. And Gene Kelly was famous, too, of course.
Yeah.
Jules Munchen, of course, you know, people would mob him everywhere he would go. I'm sorry. Unfair. I'm like, who?
I know, we had to look him up.
Yeah.
We had to look up, like, he's what else has he done?
He's in Take Me Out to the Ball Game. He's in several musicals.
Yeah.
He also did an episode of That Girl. And Car 54, and Where Are
54,
You?
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, apparently even like during the final scene when they're doing New York to New York, there's a shot that you can see just heads of hundreds of spectators,
right,
who were trying to get down to see Sinatra.
There's that wall, you know, where they put up the Christmas tree
Christmas
every year,
tree,
right?
Exactly. Behind the
people
Prometheus.
People all
yeah.
up behind that wall,
right,
looking over, and yeah, they wouldn't. You can, it really sticks out. I mean, you're like, what are they looking at if they're not looking at what's being filmed?
Yeah,
and I guess you just couldn't cordon that off. You just
right.
couldn't keep people from. You know, it would raise suspicions as
yeah.
to why can't we go out and maybe have made a bigger mess than, I mean, it's only for 1 second
right.
that you see them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's quick. I thought, for me, I lived in New York briefly, and for me, watching this movie just made me miss it. I mean, it just made me want to go visit so bad. And we were talking about this a few weeks ago with our Bond podcast, James Bond podcast, about Vegas and how much it's changed uh-huh. over the years and everything. New York is kind of the opposite.
Stayed the same.
It's kind of stayed in a lot of ways the same. They've preserved their historic buildings, the historic theaters. They've preserved all those. Most of them have been set back to their original architecture. Watching this film, there's still a lot of super recognizable
right.
everything. Only thing that's gone is Carnegie Deli.
Oh,
my favorite
man.
Place. It's gone.
Well, okay, so the places in this, the Statue of Liberty, the Staten Island Ferry, the Central Park, and Rockefeller Center, and, you know, those places really, yeah, Carnegie Hall, Radio City, you wouldn't have seen much change
right.
in those over the time.
Right.
You know, right?
Right, exactly.
Now, Vegas is, you know, is a place that,
Constantly changing, yeah.
Adding and unfortunately destroying much of it
yeah.
because you know it's revenue.
It is.
It's just, I mean,
yeah.
if the Sands, nobody's coming to the Sands anymore, they're going to tear it down.
Right.
The Desert Inn, all of those wonderful old the dunes.
Yep.
Yeah. All
yeah.
gone.
All gone.
The Flamenco, I think, is really.
Really. That's about the only one I can think
of. The
first,
that's
still there.
And it'll probably be the very last.
Yeah. That, we were just talking about all the different sites in New
mm-hmm.
York. There's a scene, well, it's not a scene so much as like a montage, I guess, but really quick scenes of the trio in this movie, that of them visiting all these sites.
Uh-huh.
And they go to the Brooklyn Bridge, Wall Street, Little Italy, Chinatown, Statue of Liberty. They do a horse ride, carriage ride
Central Park.
They visit Staten Island. They go to Washington Square, Empire State Building.
Uh-huh.
And apparently in the script, it's all done before 9 a.m.
Like,
this is what they did in the morning. And I'm going, that would have taken 2 days to do.
Right.
There's
just
no
getting
way.
There.
Just getting
yeah.
there, exactly.
Yeah.
Just traveling between those places.
If you had a dedicated taxi, it would still take you all day and part of tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that cracked me up. They get all those places.
Uh-huh.
First part of their day.
Well, and, you know, Ann Miller, it was her idea to go and shoot it on location.
Right. She had never been or something.
Right.
She just wanted to go.
So she talks Louis B. Mayer into letting him film on location.
That's so funny. There's some other movies that were done by a lot of these actors together. Gene Kelly and Frank Sinatra, Jules Munchen.
We're all Betty in Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
All of them. Betty Garrett.
Uh-huh.
All four of them, Take Me Out to the Ball Game together, 1949. Yeah. And then there's several other movies in here that, you know, two or three of them have been in together.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of crazy how a lot of those musicals around this time, you know, they just, you know, featured a lot of the same backing dancers and a lot of same,
uh-huh.
you know.
Well, and there's a couple of smaller parts in here that they ended up becoming, you know, television stars.
Right.
So the girl who plays the roommate that sneezes a
mm-hmm.
lot, that's Gladys Kravitz from Bewitched.
Right.
And then B. Bernadette, who was in, she played Jed's and. It's Jethro's mother,
right,
from the Beverly Hillbillies, and she ran the Shady Rest in Petticoat Junction,
right.
But she speaks her very first lines in this film, her very first lines on camera.
Wow, that's cool. another cool thing I thought the chorus girls in the Club Dixieland sequence. they didn't make new costumes for them. They just ended up using the costumes from MGM's The Harvey Girls from 1946.
Why not?
Why not?
Sure.
I just, we were talking about that last week with National Velvet and before that with Black Stallion and just about, you know, do you realize who's used this prop or this costume or whatever before you? Like, do you realize that Ann Miller was in this? Do you realize that so-and-so was in this? Do you realize, you know? And
was it Elizabeth Taylor was wearing the same clothes from she in Father of the Bride? She's wearing the same clothes. Oh, I can't remember what film it is, but it was another famous film that she's actually just it's hand-me-downs from another film.
I don't think she would like that now. Well, now she wouldn't like anything. Now,
yeah.
So in this movie, there's a whole Miss Turnstiles contest and everything like that. And I didn't know until I read this.
Right.
I had no idea that there was a real life version of this Miss Turnstiles contest, New York City. There was all. It was called Miss Subways.
Uh huh.
And it was a beauty contest run by the New York Subways Advertising Company from 1941 to 1976. And the subway cars featured posters of the pretty young women who lived and worked in New York City who were, you know, up for this contest or whatever. And I'm like, kind of sexist by today's standards.
Times have changed.
You know? But I guess in the 40s to 70s, I guess that was, you know, just...
They could do that.
I guess they just could do that.
Sure.
But Miss Subways.
Doesn't have the same ring.
No, exactly. It's not catchy.
I'm thinking now of like I'm a homeless guy or something in there. Or, you know.
You're right. There's also a couple connections or kind of jokes, honestly, about Ava Gardner in this movie with Frank Sinatra. There's Gene Kelly, when Gene Kelly dismisses one of the beautiful women passing by,
Jules
Munchkin asks, who you got waiting for you in New York? Ava Gardner? Well, Frank Sinatra was having an affair with her at
the time.
Very famous affair. And then he ended up marrying her a few years later in 1951.
Right.
So I thought that was a really great little joke. Frank Sinatra, another great little joke that they had on set. Frank Sinatra was very thin.
Yes.
And had to wear prosthetic padding.
On his booty.
On his butt. Yeah. I mean, like, so he had butt padding. Let's just say it. Let's just
fake butt.
Let's just say what it is. Let's just call it how it is.
And he was very sensitive.
And he was very sensitive about that padding. Yeah. But apparently it was quite the subject of humor on the set.
Having the white man booty.
So Sinatra, very thin.
It did not keep him from, being popular with the ladies.
Of course not. So Ann Miller had this great, and I'll let you tell this story. Ann Miller had this great.
I hope I know it.
I hope you do too. She had a great TCM interview years ago where she kind of talked about the tap number Prehistoric Man. And how she like tore something down.
Well, yeah. They're in the Museum of Natural History, right? Yeah. And she's doing this. She does this famous tap. Twirls. And it's hard to describe, but her skirt caught one of the bones on this dinosaur, and it grabbed onto her skirt or vice versa, and she pulled the dinosaur down. It collapsed.
The whole thing came crashing down.
This, million-year-old fossil, really, it's very brittle. Came crashing to the ground. It's irreplaceable. But the crew had to come in.
I was going
to
say they shut down production for quite a while while the Natural History Museum came in and fixed it.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness.
How long did it take to put together in the first place?
Exactly. And did that museum ever allow filming in there after that? Because I don't know if I would. Man.
There was just they moved the velvet rope out a little further,
Exactly. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
No tap twirls. I think there was a sign forever. No tap twirls. By Ann Miller, anywhere near this. Frank may have not had much of a behind, but he said that he could never dance.
Right.
That, you know, he was just, you know, he was a singer, you know, he's not a dancer.
Yeah.
But that in this, Gene Kelly actually made him look like he was a good dancer.
Right.
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 Which you can do on film.
I mean, yeah.
You could practice and rehearse
practice
all this.
And rehearse 10 seconds of it over and over and over and over, shoot it, and then move on to the next 10 seconds.
Yeah, well, it, you would have to, right? You're moving fast around the city.
Yeah.
So they, I'm sure, you know, they had to rehearse this, and knowing Gene Kelly, who directed this, or co-directed it, you know, he's known as quite a taskmaster. Now, I can't imagine him getting along very well for too long with Frank Sinatra,
right,
who didn't like to do more than one take. You know, Gene Kelly is famous for almost killing Debbie Reynolds and Donald O'Connor in Singing in the Rain.
Right.
Because they did so many retakes,
yes,
until they got it exactly the way he wanted it.
Yeah, he was a huge, known as a perfectionist, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, you know, run and gun, you jumping out of a taxi, kind of helped keep the friction down between he and Sinatra, because you couldn't do retakes.
Right.
If you're trying to stay ahead of the crowd.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was other films. The one we just had at the American in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Where Vincent Minnelli had been announced as the director, but then he was going through a divorce with Judy Garland.
Right.
And so he couldn't really be there. So they said, well, Gene Kelly can direct it. And the crew was all like, no, no, no. You know. So, yeah.
Not Gene Kelly.
It
no.
could have really been fractious between he and Sinatra, but
yeah,
it didn't end up that way because they had to had other things they got to do.
Yeah. And did they, I mean, besides those two, did they ever work again together?
This is the last film
the last
that they
one.
Did
okay.
together, but they did, you know, they did several.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just couldn't remember.
Ball game. And,
yeah,
and
I didn't know if they had done any after this one.
Yeah.
But, well, I think we're at the end of our time again.
Oh.
And so I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to us every week. And we're having a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys are
we
enjoying
have a lot
listening
of fun.
To
we
it.
We hope you're having fun.
And, again, we air Saturday nights at 9. Friday nights at 11 on OETA.
Yeah. If you want to, you've got a friend who said, hey, I saw this film. It's going to be on again Friday night at 11.
And we do what's called local live streaming on our website, oeta.tv, so you can also watch that way.
Yeah.
And right now we are in need of celebrity photos. So please send in those celebrity photos. And here in a second you'll hear a web address and an address to send those to. And
along with a little story about where you met the celebrity, and you know when it was, and you know maybe where you were, and you know we'd like to include that a little
yes.
story about it. You know, sometimes we get them, and it's just like, here's me with
I got one
Christopher
the other,
Lloyd.
Yeah, I got one the other day, and I keep joking. I'm like, I keep saying, if you don't send in a story, I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you or email you or whatever. I'm going to get a hold of you,
uh-huh.
and I'm going to have you tell me that story. Because now I got one the other day of, I can't remember who it was now, but it was literally just a hard copy of photo, and
uh-huh.
on the back it said two names and who they were.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, we got to have more than this.
Yeah.
So I called her, great story behind the photo. So please include those stories. That's just as important as the photo itself.
Right.
And again, we appreciate you guys listening each week. Until next week. Oh, and next week we have Some Like It Hot,
uh-huh.
which is going to be a great film to talk about.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe.
Mm. She's pretty good.
She's pretty good. I've heard of her. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard of her.
No. Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon.
Tony Curtis.
Tony
Curtis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, these are, this is, it's just
Joe
a great
E.
one.
Joe E. Brown is so funny in that.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Until next week, take care.
Bye-bye.
Make sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. You can preview all upcoming OETA Movie Club films at oeta.tv/movieclub. And please, send your celebrity photos to P.O. Box 14190, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73113, or you can email them to us at oeta.tv/movieclub. And of course, tune in every Saturday night at 9 and on Fridays at 11. We'll see you on the couch every weekend for a great movie and fresh popcorn.